Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. We have a really fun show for you today. We're talking with Sean Miller with Point Central. A couple of interesting topics with Sean. First, how to position yourself for the vacation rental market. And number two, three ways to making a vacation rental feel like a holiday. And how do you manage that entire process? I have my favorite highlighter out, so that means we're also going to be talking about, despite the rate dip, what's happening in a couple of counties with foreclosure rates. And that's going to be a very interesting market update coming at you right after we get through a sponsor message. And we're also talking about the Tax Cuts Job Act of 2017, Opportunity Zones, and a few things that you need to know there. And of course, living in Hawaii, how expensive or inexpensive that can be. A very interesting USA Today article with that. The podcast for today is brought to you by Roofstock. If you're ready to buy your first investment property, then check out Roofstock, the number one marketplace for buying and selling single-family rental homes. Featuring tenant-occupied rental properties for sale in over 20 states, Roofstock makes it easy to invest in cash-flowing real estate outside your local market. And to help you invest remotely with confidence, all the properties are backed by Roofstock's industry-leading 30-day money-back guarantee. Sign up for free today to find your next cash-flowing rental property at roofstock.com/thinkrealty. So excited to connect with Sean. He's on hold, but we'll be with him in just a second. Let's talk about some of these counties that are hitting these foreclosure lists. I'm finding that to be kind of interesting. Adam Data had a couple of interesting statistics. Number one, leading U.S. counties in foreclosure starts is, guess what? Los Angeles County. A very interesting thing to think about there. It had 837 properties initiating the foreclosure process in March of 2019. So should I be concerned about this? Yes or no? Maybe-ish. I mean, it's 837 properties. I'm not overly concerned about that number. Now, Adam Data is reporting that this figure is a whopping 54% increase from the previous year. So I'm going to be tracking these numbers, as should you. And if we start to see foreclosure numbers rise over the next couple of months, over the next year, year and a half or two, yeah, we should be and might be a little concerned about that. Quote, while mortgage delinquency rates continue to decline around the U.S., there's still a handful of counties that are seeing relatively high rates for foreclosure starts. For the first quarter of 2019, there's a total of 162, rounding up a couple hundred homes, properties that in the U.S. began the foreclosure process. Stumbling over my words there for a second. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Which is a drop of 23% from the previous quarter, down 15% from a year ago. So, overall, what am I thinking about this? I mean, I'm still not really concerned. I'm not seeing any bad lending practices out there, so this could just be a couple of folks getting behind, and maybe they just need to work that out. A foreclosure start. So if you don't really know what a foreclosure start is, it's the first public foreclosure notice that is indicative of a mortgage default. So again, something to be looking for. Now, we're also looking at Adam Data Solutions' list of counties with the most foreclosure starts in March of this year. Number one, Palm Beach, Florida. Actually, you know what? No, it's the other way around. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we've got 10 coming in at number 10, Palm Beach County, Florida, with 298. Riverside County, California, that's number 8 on the list. Number 9 on the list, Clark County, Nevada, is number 8 on the list. Philadelphia County, Miami-Dade County, Maricopa County in Arizona, Broward County, Florida, Harris, Texas, Cook County, Illinois, and then followed by Los Angeles County, California. So that's the quick little wrap-up. That's the quick little update. What am I thinking? Overall, I've said it three times already. I'm not overly concerned unless we start seeing a skyrocketing number of foreclosures here in the United States. So again, pay attention to it. Get out your favorite highlighter and start taking some notes. Let's go ahead and get to Sean. Sean, welcome to the show.
Here.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. We had an awesome time talking to you on the radio show. Now this is the first time we're doing a podcast, a video podcast version as well, so people can see you. All they need to do is go to thinkrealty.com. So Sean, again, from Point Central, welcome to the show. What do you do and who are you?
Thanks. Yeah, hopefully switching from audio only to video doesn't scare away too many of the listeners here.
Hey, that's a problem that all the time. I mean, you know, I've been told for the longest time I'm the face for radio, and I really want to keep it that way.
I'm Sean Miller. I'm the president of Point Central. What Point Central has been doing for the last 7 years, we've been providing an enterprise class property automation platform. So what that is a smart home for residential property managers. So whether it's single family or multifamily, short-term rental or long-term rental, we help property managers deploy connected locks, connected thermostats, water sensors, et cetera, but do so in a way that helps them drive operational efficiency, that helps them protect the asset, and then also delivers an amenity to the resident, whether, again, it's a short-term guest or a long-term tenant.
Gotcha. And in terms of overall security, I mean, that's something that you are very familiar with. You're also familiar with the home automation pieces as well. And we have vacation rental components like Airbnb, right? That's really popular for a lot of new investors and even pro investors. They're taking a look at using Airbnb as an exit strategy, some type of maybe VRBO, homeaway.com type of scenario. How do I, as an investor, position myself properly for the vacation rental market?
Yeah, so the good news is if you look at the vacation rental market over the last several years, it's been growing dramatically. I think the last number that came out was up 50% year over year. And if you look at us around, right, that makes sense. You see people taking more vacations. You see vacations becoming, again, central to people's lives and how they want to go out and experience the world or experience new cities. Probably the biggest change has been that investors want to think through is historically, you know, there was hotels and then there was private accommodations. Private accommodations being, again, a condo or a house you may rent from someone on a beach. And before, those used to be distinctly different products. Today, in most travelers' minds, those are quickly converging and becoming just different options to stay at. And so what the investor wants to first understand is how do you make sure that your vacation rental is providing the same baseline experience that someone expects from a hotel. So things like providing basic Wi-Fi, making sure that when you show up, it's not too hot or too cold, easy to get in, right? Keyless access, safety, all these types of things are important. And we help with some of those. You know, obviously with the thermostat, we can help make sure we're saving energy, but a guest doesn't show up in the wintertime to a really cold house in the middle of the mountains. We can also do things where historically in vacation rentals, people used to use lock boxes with mechanical keys. A lot of modern travelers just don't like that, right? They ask questions about how many people have copies of those keys and, you know, what happens if I go to the beach and I lose the key, right? So in a hotel, you're used to having a key card or a code. So moving to a keyless system, again, it's just more of a natural, like how do you provide at least a baseline same product?
Yeah, totally. I remember checking into hotels and I'll get two sets of keys and she's the guy that's checking me in. This actually happened to Think Realty Baltimore. She's like, she checked me in. She's like, how many keys would you like? And I said, just one. She's like, I'll give you two, one to keep and one to lose. I'm like, thank you very much. This is exactly what I need in my life, right? Like, I need to know that you know that I'm going to misplace one, or if I'm at a conference or running around, it's going to fall out of my pocket or something. So keyless makes a whole lot of sense. And even when I'm looking at just renting my rental properties for the long term, I mean, doesn't this also have some type of premium that I could charge over time to the tenant for the long term?
Oh, the long-term rental for sure. We see long-term rentals typically get at least a $20 a month premium when the home is smart or connected versus one that's not. Not to mention, you get a lot more people interested in seeing that home, so typically it's vacant for a shorter amount of time. You can do things like unattended showing, so it's easier for the property manager to turn that. So there's definitely a lot of benefits in the long term. If you take that theme and pivot back to short term, right, there's also things where, Navi, you're joking about losing keys right now when you travel, and that's by yourself. A lot of private accommodation vacation travel tends to be families, right, because you can rent a home and have space for you and your significant other and your kids. I think the chances of losing keys grows exponentially when you're also trying to chase little ones around. So again, like removing a potential pain point helps make a better guest experience. That means, you know, better repeat customers, better reviews posted, et cetera. So there's definitely, you know, there's even things like, you know, direct to home check-in, right? So someone, when they pull into their vacation town, they just go right to the house because they already have the code. They don't have to stop by an office, wait in line, get a key. Meanwhile, the kids are going crazy in the car because you've been driving for 6 hours and they're just ready to get there. So it really just helps provide an overall better guest experience, which at the end of the day, you know, helps drive better returns to the investor.
That's right. And let's talk about these returns. How much of a bump should I increase? Should I look to increase as an investor? Should it be 5%? Should it be 10%? Is it something that if I install and if I really pay attention to, can I get more than that, less than that, maybe a dollar amount per month? What do you think?
Yeah, in the long-term market, again, we see about $20 per month is the starting point for a basic system. And a basic system would have a lock and a thermostat. You can get more if you add amenities like video doorbells, things like that. In the short-term vacation rental market, it's different mechanics. So what we typically see is some property managers and owners honestly fund it internally, just their savings from not having to go walk keys out in the middle of the night or cut new keys and all those other things. Their savings are so great that they don't do anything. Other people probably think a little more, lean in a little bit heavier. And what we've seen is people typically have a type of a resort charge when they stay in a vacation rental property. And so an easy way to drive more revenue from the system or more cash flow from the system is to say add a $5 smart home fee to that resort charge. You're not going to get real pushback from guests for that $5. Again, the guest is going to see the benefit when they show up and they get that similar experience. Most guests aren't honestly going to say download the app and play with the smart home when they're in the short term, but they're going to use the key codes. They're going to appreciate that the thermostat, you know, preconditioned it for them. And so you don't get really pushback on that $5 per guest transaction.
Is that going to be the standard, do you think, moving forward, keyless entry and more home automation? I mean, I'm seeing it with Nest and Alexa and Google Home. How important is this technology and the recognition that this technology isn't just a fad, it's here to stay?
Yeah, I think you can, if you look at the technology as a whole category, I don't think the question is if it takes hold, it's just a question of how quickly it does, right? And when does everyone have this? And sooner or later, I'd argue probably sooner, this becomes a de facto standard where if you don't have these types of things, you're either operating more inefficient than your competition, so you're generating less returns, which means less future investment opportunities, or you're not getting the same guest experience and therefore you're going to lose guests or have to pay more to acquire those guests. So certain categories may have nuances, right? You can make an argument that in a short-term vacation rental, an interior camera is probably a bad idea. A voice assistant may scare some people off, but certain things like keyless locks, connected thermostats, water sensors,
yep.
There's no privacy information there. There's no concern, and they do deliver a better guest experience. So I think you'll see certain core technology definitely get spread everywhere. You'll see other parts of the technology sort of get added depending on the guest experience you're looking to deliver.
Yeah.
But overall, the technology definitely will become a part of short-term property management.
Gotcha. So I don't have to worry about technology like laughing at me in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? My producer, Matthew, he's like, yeah, that can't happen. Otherwise, that's going to be bad for business.
Yeah, I totally agree. You save that for the kids and the spouse.
That's right. No, 100%. What are some ways where you can make managing a vacation rental really feel like a holiday? Because, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm doing any work when on vacation, and especially when I'm now managing these rentals. And if my main core focus, like a lot of investors, is going to be the Airbnb, it's going to be the VRBO, it's going to be the HomeAway, and all these different types of new platforms that are coming out to manage the vacation rentals, how do I make it feel like fun?
Yeah, fun to the guest and the property manager. Well, the easiest way to make it easy on everyone is obviously the system you can manually use. But one of the things we've really built ourselves on is how do you make this a tool that actually requires less time from the property manager?
Yes.
And so we have integrations with HomeAway or VRBO or 20 plus other PMS systems in the short-term rental space so that every time a guest reservation is made, our system sees that. It's going to automatically generate codes, send those to the guest. The guest is going to have it when they show up, right? So it's just removing friction from that overall process. It's also going to tell the thermostat when to adjust, again, without requiring the property manager to do anything other than book guests like they're doing today. So it really allows that property manager to hone in on things they want to spend their time finding more guests and making sure those guests have a good experience. So when you think about how to become frictionless to the guest, yeah, it's great that I show right up to the property and I have a code and I walked in and the place was the perfect temp. But it also means that now the property manager can know when I showed up and, you know, depending on the time, they may want to come visit. Maybe they give me a call. They just check in to make sure everything was up to my standards. Those little nuances, helping the property manager shift their time from having to do mundane operational things like cut keys to spending more time to make sure the guest has a good experience. That helps make it easy for everyone. But again, it helps build that value, that customer, why they're going to come back and rent from you again every season, because they just have a good time and a good experience with your property.
Now, I'm 100% with you. I mean, there's a very big difference between, say, Hilton and Hyatt versus, you know, your Days Inn, right? The customer service, the experience, and you want to be above the, you want to be a cut above the rest. That's how you can guarantee more occupancy. That's how you can guarantee a better rate, a nightly rate, if you're doing the Airbnb or the VRBOs, vacation rental types, or even a longer-term tenant should you choose to use home automation like Point Central in your rental. So, Sean, let's wrap it up here real quick. If I wanted to take away one, two, or three things, what are the biggest three takeaways that I can take away from this conversation with you right now?
First thing would be, don't think of smart home just as an amenity, right? It's at least from us, we view it as a business tool first. It should help a property manager run their business better and then protect the asset and delight guests. Second, it's not that expensive. A lot of people, I think, when they start to think through this, they go, well, you know, this is going to cost thousands of dollars. The reality is a system from Point Central starts at $600 and about $15 a month. So it's really easy to get in and roll it in. We can train people to do it, but we also have professional installation that can install everything and get a home up and running in less than an hour. And then, the third thing is, how complex is this and how easy is it for me to use? The base system, without any integrations, we have people today that are using one home or two home or five homes managing on the platform.
Yep.
You layer in all those integrations, and the reality is it's not a steep learning curve. People can get in and use it. And today, again, we have people that have one single property that use the system up to 75,000 plus properties on the platform. So it can scale as you scale, but it's also easy to use when you're first starting off.
I love it. Scale as I scale. And there are so many investors that are always looking to add to their portfolio, especially right now. And when the market does correct a little bit, you want to be able to scale. You want to be able to buy more, but you need the right tools to get there. Check out Point Central. Sean, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Go to pointcentral.com. You can see a little bit about what we do in some short videos. And if you want to see a demo, there's a button to click there and one of our team will get a hold of you.
Beautiful. Sounds good. Thanks so much for stopping in and doing video with me today. That sounds great. I mean, it was awesome testing it out a couple of times. And I do believe that I have now a face for video instead of just radio. Sean, thanks so much. We'll have to do this again. I certainly appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Thanks, Abby. Pleasure to be here.
You got it. Think Realty Nation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll start talking now after the quick little sponsor message about opportunity zones, tax cuts, and what you need to know to get ahead. Be right back. This segment is brought to you by Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Check them out. Go to turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com. Again, that's www.turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com. Now let's talk about opportunity zones. You know, it was the opportunity zone value. I'm a really big fan of this. Now, we're still kind of waiting on a couple of more details on how opportunity zones will work and the tax credits and cuts and all that kind of stuff. But here's what you got to know. In order to make a profit, essentially you, the taxpayer, you have to sell an asset. Once you sell that asset and you take those profits and put it into an opportunity zone, a qualified OZ fund, and you hold it for 10 years, you are paying zero in taxes on that gain. Do you know how powerful that is? I have a belief and I have a feeling that opportunity zones will totally take over this 1031 exchange world. I think that's exactly where it's headed. 1031 exchanges have ruled the world in terms of how you can take your profits and put them in a tax advantage situation for quite a while. Well, enter opportunity zones, and I'm loving it. Some of the top 10 opportunity zone areas that Zillow is claiming to be the top 10 areas. Number one, Brooklyn Heights, New York City. Number two, Wayne State, Detroit. My hometown, well, my hometown's Kalamazoo, but my home state of Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, made that list. New Orleans, Lafitte, I think that's the name of the city. Lafitte, historic Waverly Place, that's in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got in New York City, Prospect Lefferts Gardens. And that I don't know too much about, quite frankly. I'm going to have to investigate some of these places. Sunset Park, New York City, Bedford, New York City, Charleston, Boston, Astoria, New York City, and Edge Hill Community Garden in Nashville. So you can see there are small little communities and small little areas within these cities that have these opportunity zones and they're qualified opportunity zones. So if you're an investor and you want to take a look at them, you know what? Do it. I think it makes sense. A whole heck of a lot of sense. All right, let's move on to Hawaii. As we know, Hawaii is one of the most expensive states to live in. And, you know, I haven't visited Hawaii, but I did hear that a bagel and cream cheese is like $15. Maybe it's 10 bucks, but still, it's crazy expensive. I don't know how y'all can live out there. USA Today had a very interesting article about teachers in the state of Hawaii. Quote, I'm 31 years old, living with two roommates in a dump place. I said Starks, who's a teacher in the state of Hawaii, quote, I have almost no savings. I want to stay and get a home. But it's looking more and more like that's not possible. As we know, Hawaii's always been one of America's most expensive places to live. The median sale price of a single-family home in Honolulu reached a record high of $812,000, and this was last September in 2018. That's nuts, right? Like, holy cow. And that's according to the Honolulu Board of Realtors. The median price of a condo peaked last year at $435,000. That seems really expensive, especially on a teacher's salary. And as a teacher, you're not making a whole lot. And that's, quite frankly, disturbing. The state's public school teachers, many of whom came from mainland U.S., with visions of working amid a year-round sunshine. I mean, so then the question is California or Hawaii, right? Like, I don't mind the sunshine tax at this point in California. Hawaii seems a little interesting. So real quick, does this sound like an opportunity to you to maybe create some affordable housing in Hawaii? I think so. And I think hopefully they'll address part of the issue here. But I don't know. I mean, they're definitely, from what I'm reading, the Hawaii State Teachers Association, there are bills in the works here for teacher housing and for teacher tax credits, but will it be enough? I'm unsure. If you have some insight or if you want to talk about this a little further, go to thinkrealty.com. I'm finding it kind of interesting. But keep in mind, you know, if your outgo exceeds your income, the great Jim Rohn said this, if your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. And we have to start thinking about ways in which we can reduce our monthly expenses so that we can live there. And maybe we need to think twice. And Hawaii, help your teachers out. Teachers, teachers, teachers. Y'all do a lot. Y'all need to be taken better care of. So check it out. Go to thinkrealty.com. And have questions for me? We learned a lot today with Sean Miller from Point Central and how home automation can really take your business to the next level, especially if you're in the Airbnb world. Getting that upper echelon of customer service. I want it. Our clients want it. And you as a vacationer definitely need it. Check them out. Go to pointcentral.com. This podcast brought to you by Roofstock. If you haven't checked them out, go to roofstock.com. If you're ready to buy your next investment property, then check out Roofstock, the number one marketplace for buying and selling single-family rental homes, featuring tenant-occupied rental properties for sale in over 20 states. Roofstock makes it easy to invest in cash-flowing real estate outside your local market. And to help you invest remotely with confidence, all properties are backed by Roofstock's industry-leading 30-day money-back guarantee. Sign up for free today to find your next cash-flowing deal and or rental property at roofstock.com/thinkrealty. That's a wrap, Think Realty Nation. Have questions again? Go to thinkrealty.com. You can find me anywhere online right over here and holler at me. Until next time. Happy investing.